Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
While you're taking a break from sports, KSON is putting you on the road to Stagecoach 8 times every weekday, thanks to your San Diego County Toyota dealers and Cox Communications. Ready for 3 days of live country music in the desert? Sign up now at KSON.com.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Oh, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, good Friday to everyone. I hope everyone having a great day. I know a little bit of rain last night. It looks like it might rain a little bit more, but I think we're going to be clear for a great weekend. And, of course, we got the AFC and NFC Championship games this weekend. Can't wait for those two football games. And, of course, we're going to have them right here on 97.3 The Fan. Kickoff on Sunday of the AFC Championship between the Titans and the Chiefs will be right at 12 o'clock. And then the Packers 49ers and NFC up there at Levi's Stadium. That will kick off at 3:40. And while we're mentioning that, I want to congratulate my man John Lynch Jr., being named the NFL Executive of the Year yesterday. So congratulations to Johnny and to the family and all that good stuff. And Braden, I got to get you on here because you and I have had an interesting week. We came on the air at 12 o'clock on Monday. An hour before we came on is when Rob Manfred had his 9-page report and suspended Jeff Lunau, then general manager of the Houston Astros, A.J. Hinch, then manager of the ball club, levied a $5 million fine and took away the first and second round picks in the 2020 and 2021 draft. And then we find out about 5 minutes into our program, we're in our open on Monday, and Jim Crane, the owner of Houston's up there, and he fires both Lunau and A.J. Hinch. But it didn't stop after that. The next day, Alex Cora got bounced out by the Boston Red Sox's manager. Yesterday, Carlos Beltran got let go by the New York Mets before ever managing a game. And you and I were talking about, what's going to be next? What's going to be next? And, you know, what's spring training going to be like? What's the regular season? And I said yesterday that the 2020 baseball season, we're going to have rats coming out of the woodpile and throwing things out. And we're going to get to a soundbite here from Jack McDowell, the former major league pitcher, who this morning on a radio station down in Charlotte let the bag out on Tony La Russa a little bit. So we'll hear from Jack McDowell momentarily, but we got a big show today. We're going to take a look at the both the AFC and NFC Championship games coming up at 12:35. Dave Scretta, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs for the Associated Press, will stop by. Later in the program at 2:15, Chris Bitterman, a 49ers reporter for the Sacramento Bee. And then we're going to find out a little bit more about our Aztecs. And I mentioned about Nathan Mensah the last couple of days. I don't know when he's going to come back. Nobody was saying anything. And if you read the morning paper, doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. I mean, Mark Ziegler had a big article on Mensah. And if you haven't seen the Union Tribune, had a picture of Nathan sitting on the bench here recently. He hasn't played in a ball game since December 28th. Brian Dutcher and the staff and people with the ball club would not comment. Nathan was not going to comment. But sources are saying that he has an embolism. And that's going to take a while. And he's being treated. But that normally takes a minimum of 3 months. And there's a slight chance he could come back, but probably not coming back this year. So what you're seeing with the Aztecs right now is pretty much, it looks like what we're going to see the remainder of the year. Their big 6'10" sophomore looks like he will not be back this year. We certainly wish him the very, very best. It started out with an upper respiratory issue. And then after testing, it sounds like it's a little bit more severe, basically a blood clot in his lung. And it can clear up. It's treatable and all that good stuff. But, again, you got to side on the side of caution on this one. No question about it. Braden, it's been a very interesting week, especially for you over there monitoring all this when I'm on the air. And then I'm coming over to you to get your comments. And it's been crazy, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a crazy week. And it's not just for us, but a lot of people in baseball and a lot of players, too, because – you know, I know a lot of guys that I played high school ball with that are in the minor leagues or, you know, in the major leagues, and, you know, they all work out at my gym. And, you know, I'm talking to some of those guys. It's just they're just kind of like it's a surreal for them. It's just like they just can't fathom how all this stuff is going around, and they think it's crazy. And I think a lot of them agree that they're just glad they're not in Astros camp to come spring training, because there's going to be a lot of questions being asked about a lot of, you know, a lot of things that went down. And, you know, a lot of those guys, too, like I know a lot of those guys that are the type of players that are just trying to get to the bigs, and, you know, they have a short hook in the big leagues. And, you know, that affects all the players like them a handful of times where they go up to the big leagues. Maybe it's just a one-day thing, see what they got. And if they got shelled by the Astros and the Astros were treating, that's their only shot to ever play in the big leagues. I mean, if they went out and had their great stuff and, you know, didn't get shelled by the Astros, maybe they're still up in the big leagues. Maybe they got a bigger contract. Maybe they made it. I mean, there's so many people this affects. Like you were saying, we're talking about this off air. You think this is you said this is going to be a recurring thing throughout all of 2020, and we've already started to see the repercussions of exactly what's going on with over the last, I don't know how many years. There's going to be people coming out and saying all the different ways that they would cheat in baseball, and we saw it today with Jack McDowell, you know, talking on a radio station in Charlotte this morning, which we will play for you momentarily. But this is utterly, it's crazy. Think about this way: we're at this point of the year. What are we thinking about?
Thinking about start of spring training and getting up and going to the ballpark.
We're thinking about the NFL playoffs.
Well, that's true. Thinking of.
We have two big championship games this week.
We've hardly talked about it.
We haven't talked about it at all. I mean, radio stations across the country, I know we don't have an NFL team anymore.
The only guy we talked about it with was John McClain yesterday.
Right. And I booked him a week ago.
Right.
So it's not even like it was, we'll just talk about him. We'll give him a phone call. We'll talk about this game. But I would imagine, with the exception of probably Green Bay, San Francisco, Kansas City, and Tennessee, those four teams that are playing it, I would imagine most radio stations and sports stations around the country are talking about this baseball scandal. And you never don't like too much publicity, but this is kind of the publicity you really don't want if you're Major League Baseball.
Well, no question about it. You know, you bring up a point that, you know, I brought up for many years when I was on the air talking about the steroid. Can you imagine how many ball players probably their careers were ended because they didn't want to use steroids and they were competing, trying to get to the big leagues against guys that were, and, you know, guys, you know, got sent down to AAA or AA and eventually got released because they wouldn't go that direction. And other guys have profited millions and millions of dollars because of it.
And I think Alex Wood tweeted out yesterday. We said on the air yesterday, I know Jim Rome was talking about it earlier today on his show earlier, you know, from 9 to 12. You can hear that before us, but Alex Wood said, I'd rather face a guy on steroids than face a batter that knows exactly what I'm going to throw. And I think that's a big issue that a lot of people that don't necessarily watch baseball every single day understanding how much of an advantage it is to know what the pitch is before it comes in. I mean, think about it. And I understand, like the thing that always gets brought up with baseball, the hardest thing to do in sports is to hit a baseball, which is fair. These guys are professionals. They know how to hit a baseball. And if they know what's coming, it is drastically easier to hit a baseball. You got to roll this Chapman on the mound. He's throwing 104 miles an hour, and you know the slider's coming. It's a lot easier to hit than when you don't know the slider's coming.
Well,
I mean, that's why his slider's so good.
I got news for you. If they know a slider's coming and they don't have two strikes, they're going to spit on it. They're going to take it. They'll take it for a strike before they're going to swing at it if they know the slider's coming in less than two outs. Now, with two strikes, if they got two strikes, then they know it's coming. They got to be ready for it. But I guarantee you, most of those guys were waiting when they got the fastball, because that's your bread and butter. You're not going to hit a good breaking ball.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, with the whole, well, you know, there's guys on second base that could steal signs. Yeah, it's fine. I think that's part of the game. But how accurate are those guys at second base that are stealing signs? I mean, how don't they kind of mix it up when you're a catcher and you got a guy on second base? it's,
well, it's
way
not,
more
it's a
accurate,
constant cat and mouse
but
game.
But it's way more accurate with the all the allegations that are coming down with computers and using formulas
and
computer software and video. I think John Boy said it on Michael Kay's show yesterday. They had a full 9-minute interview with him. And he said, you know, they have apps now. I didn't even know this was a thing. They have apps now where you can punch in the sequence of the numbers of the hand signals and then record what the pitch was after that. And after 5 pitches, they know exactly what the signs are.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, there's so much technology now. It's ridiculous.
You know what? We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I want to get that sound bite out, and I want to play it in entirety. We're
you
right up against the break right now. Our phone number, I'm sure everybody's going to have a comment on this, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We'll come back. We'll get that sound bite from Jack McDowell. He throws Hall of Famer and his former manager, Tony La Russa, under the bus. We'll play that for you when we return on the John Quintero Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
The Fan is your home for all football action. It's Football Friday, presented by Hooters on 97.3 The Fan.
12:18. I hope everyone having a great lunch hour. Thanks so much for joining us here on 97.3 The Fan. I want to get out to calls, but I want to get this soundbite regarding Jack Morris, because this thing right now is the number one story in sports today. Even though we're ready for these big championship ball games, Jack Morris this morning was on a radio station down in Charlotte, the Mac Attack, on 102.5 FM, The Fan, WFNZ. Here's what the former major leaguer of 12 seasons had to say.
We had a system in Old Comiskey Park in the late 80s. Gatorade sign out in right center had a light. There was a toggle switch in the manager's office and a camera zin on the catcher. Okay? I'm going to whistle blow this now because I'm getting tired of this crap. There was that. Tony La Russa is the one who put it in. He was also the head, the first team of all the team of people doing steroids. Yet he's still in the game making $500,000. You know, no one's going to go after that. It's the stuff's getting old where they target certain guys and let other people off the hook. And you know, like the media doesn't know that this all happened, was going on. Everybody knows. Everybody who's been around the game knows all this stuff. Why all of a sudden it became a big thing, I have no idea.
Well, that is definitely sprung legs, and that's become a big national story. I went online. The Angels have been contacted and wanted a response from Tony La Russa. To this point, Braden, there's been no response from the Angels or Tony La Russa on this. Now, Tony La Russa managed a long time in the big leagues with the White Sox. He was with the A's, won world titles, went to St. Louis. He's in the Hall of Fame. I mean... Are the Angels going to have to fire Tony La Russa? Are they going to try to take him out of the Baseball Hall of Fame now that something happened almost 40 years ago?
Did they even investigate this? is there anything you can investigate in terms of this?
I would think the statute of limitations on this one may have run out.
I know, but I don't know. Is this now taint Tony La Russa if they can prove this true? Or
they may taint him for a week or two. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I mean, he's long retired as a manager. He's already in the Hall of Fame. He's still working in baseball. And you know, I think Tony La Russa is actually a guy. I saw him at the winter meetings a little bit. I've talked to him a couple of times when he's been at Petco Park. He doesn't know me from a can of paint. But I was wearing my soccer's championship ring one night. And he was wearing his World Series ring. He goes, hey, where'd you get that ring? And I go, oh, I was general manager of this indoor soccer team. He goes, hey, that's pretty cool. And he let me try on his World Series ring. But he actually acknowledged my soccer's ring. I thought that was kind of cool. But I think that this is probably – and Jack McDowell, you got to understand about Jack McDowell. And I'm not saying he's lying because I know he's probably not. But Jack McDowell, sometimes his elevator I never thought went to the top floor anyways.
Wow. Shots fired at San Diego.
No, it had nothing to do with San Diego. It had to do when he was playing in the big leagues, when he flipped off the crowd at Yankee Stadium one night, walking off the mound, and some things I heard when he pitched at Stanford.
Wow. This whole ordeal is getting ridiculous. I applaud the Twitter warriors out there that are their investigative journalism right now, because they're finding so many different articles from the past. Like, there's an article that was written on June 20th, 2017, and it says Justin Verlander wants MLB to crack down on sign stealing. How about that?
And where's Verlander? I haven't heard one word from him.
Anything. He hasn't said anything. None of the Astros have said anything about this. The only thing we know is that, according to Scott Boras, Jose Altuve has denied the allegations.
That is correct.
As he probably should. And
he denied the allegations on the buzzer.
I think a lot of these guys should. Did you see that? Did you hear that clip I sent you last night with Alex Bregman?
Yes, I did. Would you like to play that for our listening audience?
So this is from the 2018 ALDS. Alex Bregman talking about what pitch he was looking for after a big hit in that game.
Are you looking for him to make a mistake, or what are you hunting there?
I don't know. I don't know what I was looking for. Maybe that pitch?
He's smug the whole time. And the guy next, Carlos Correa, is next to him just laughing hysterically. And during the video, and it's circling around on Twitter, you could probably find it, Alex Bregman's got a smirk on his face, like, I don't know what I was looking for. And he smirks. The guy next to him's laughing. And he's like, maybe it was that pitch. And he's just kind of nonchalant going through it, kind of denying some stuff. And I don't really care what – those guys get that question all the time. You would think they would, like, I was looking for a good pitch to hit. Or, the way he went about that whole thing seems a little shady to me.
Normally after you have a big hit, you're pretty fired up and, you want to comment on it and you definitely know what you were looking for. Hey, I was looking for a pitch, I was ahead in the count or whatever. You come up with something, but he sounded like he'd taken a downer or something there a little bit.
Yeah, it was weird. And you start bringing up a lot of footage from the alleged situations where the Astros were quote-unquote cheating and all of a sudden everything gets a little bit more shady. But that might be the bias of what we know now.
So anyways, that's got legs today. The Jack McDowell story, throwing his former Major League manager Tony La Russa under the bus. We'll see if between now and 3 o'clock when we get off the air, if the Angels have any type of comment coming through Tony La Russa. And got to wonder, I can't imagine them firing La Russa. I mean, this happened basically 40 years ago. I mean, that's crazy. We'll have to wait and see. Ray and Chula Vista, you're batting leadoff today with Coach John Quintero on 97.3 The Fan. How you doing today?
Hey, how you doing? I've been listening yesterday and today of all this cheating scandal. I'm going to say this. I'm going to throw it in left field that I really believe it started with the Patriots and it kind of crossed over to major leagues, to the baseball, where, hey, if the Patriots can get away with it and they got like a slap on the wrist, well, we should do it too, because maybe we'll still keep our rings and we'll probably get people fired and still keep, suspensions. But I really believe if you want to clean this up, you got to take away the trophies and rings, because you remember, you're a good historian, coach, that the Little League, it was, I guess, the Philippines versus the USA team, where the Philippines really beat the USA team, but they lied about their age.
Right.
And they got their trophies taken away.
Well, it also happened with Danny Almonte, that kid, they pitched for the Bronx, and he was like 14 pitching against 12-year-olds, and they won, and then they found out. And it's happened multiple times at the Little League World Series.
Well, what I'm trying to say, I think, is if you want to really stop the cheating, just take away the rings and trophies. And I think that would really start cleaning up the mess,
Well, you know what? Not only, I mean, the rings are one thing, the championship's another. How about all the thousands and millions of dollars that went to the, the ball players, the coaches, the clubhouse attendants? I mean, people not only won championship and win a ring, they also financially have been given a ton of money. And, I don't know where. I mean, you can go back and retroactively say, hey, they're it's vacant. 2017, the World Series vacant. You could say runner-up Dodgers. You're not going to give the Dodgers the title. It'd just sit there vacant, kind of like the year that Reggie Bush had his Heisman Trophy taken away. It just says vacant.
Yeah, like technically, I could say that out of those six rings that Brady won, four of them were probably from the first Spygate, and then the Deflategate, the third one. I mean, the fourth one. And he only won two, which is legit, which is the Rams and the Falcons. But, hey, who knows? You know, like I said, if they're not going to take the rings away, they're going to say, oh, well, like, if, you know, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. People are going to do that unless they do something about it.
Ray, they're not going to take the rings away. They're not going to take their championship away. There's probably more to it than that. But I see where you're coming from. I don't necessarily disagree with you, but it's not going to happen.
I agree with you, Coach. I just want to put my 2 cents out there.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you taking time, and you have a great weekend, my friend. Hey, I want to remind everyone, Monday we're going to be off for MLK Day, Martin Luther King Day. We'll be back in on Tuesday at 12 o'clock. You know, Braden, cheating's been going on forever when it comes to sports. Okay, and there's so many different ways to cheat. We've seen it for many years in college sports, where they get ball players in under, you know, using a different transcript academically. We've seen grade changes. We've seen players paid off before, during, and after their collegiate career. As long as winning is important, people are going to cheat. They're going to cheat. It's just a simple fact of the matter, and I don't care what anybody says. It goes on in a variety of different ways. Heck, Braden, it probably is going on here in San Diego in the high school ranks to some degree.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
That's all you got to say?
Yeah. I'm not going to start throwing teams under the bus.
No, I'm not going to throw teams under the bus, but I guarantee you that there's probably kids going to private school here in town that somebody's paying for it other than their parents. You know, and they may be doing it just because they want to do something good for a kid who's maybe had some tough breaks in their life.
Well, I can tell you right now, every single team in this, every single school in this county has players on their team that don't live in their neighborhood. I can flat out say that right now.
Oh, I would agree with that.
And there's a lot. Everybody has a special rule. You see what the Little League – Ray brought up the Little League teams. You see all those Little League teams, the League World Series? All of them have a dirty secret that nobody wants to know about. Usually they got guys that are either older than everybody else. They got kids that – they got a special group that they've had
playing
with each other for the entire year. They got kids that don't actually live in the district that had the Little League. I mean, all those that you see like, oh, look how great this Little League team is. No, are you kidding me? Those teams are all dirty, and they all cheat.
Well, they're not all dirty.
They're all dirty.
I disagree with that.
I look it up. Start looking at all the background checks. On
I
all
think
these.
Some of them are dirty. I don't think all of them. That's
a
big statement
that
right
is,
there.
But I guarantee maybe not the Little League teams from like Iowa where they got one team for the entire state. But I'm telling you,
I don't
right
think
now,
any teams from San Diego are dirty. They're on the up and up.
That okay? Sure.
Huh?
Sure. As he says it with a smile. Oh, we'll see about that. I don't know. They've had some interesting teams we've had.
You know, the
San
high
Diego.
School rule on guys, you know, living in this area, playing there, it's kind of a weird rule, to be honest with you.
Well, the transfer rule doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Kind of like the Wild Wild West.
No, it is.
Guys can go pretty much wherever they want, and you know, they may have to sit out. They may have to sit out.
Rarely now.
Yeah.
It's rare.
But you know what? Here's my take on that. And I know we're kind of digressing a little bit here. But my take on ball players jumping around from school to school, if you're a good ball player and you're the star of your team, why do you want to go somewhere else where you don't know anybody, you got to meet new coaches? Yeah, you may win a few more games, but I got news for you. If you're a good player nowadays, believe me, I don't care. You could be playing at the smallest school in this town. People are going to find you.
It worked out for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, it worked out very well. It looks like it's working out for Tyler Buckner, the kid at Bishop's.
It works out for a lot of kids.
I mean, if you can play, they find you.
I agree. Well, the Joe Burrow thing, I think, is he couldn't play at Ohio State, and now he's the greatest quarterback ever.
That's right.
He couldn't even play at his home state school, and now he's the greatest quarterback ever.
I guess that system didn't fit him well.
Yeah, maybe he was. Maybe the coach didn't like him or something.
There's some pretty talented guys in front of him, too.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to get to the bottom of that. When we come back, we're going to go to Kansas City, Missouri. We're going to visit with Dave Scredo, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs for the Associated Press. Then we'll get back to more of your phone calls. Reminder, coming up at 12:50, we got today's Coach's Corner. This is the John Quintero Show right here on 97.3 The Fan.
Mm.
welcome. Coach John Quintero with you until 3 o'clock. It'll be Gwen and Chris today. We're going to get you the Coach's Corner coming up at 12:50. But right now we're going to get out to our first guest today. Very happy to have this gentleman on. And he will be covering the big ball game, the AFC Championship game. You'll hear right here on 97.3 The Fan on Sunday. Tennessee taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. We head out to our SDCCU fan hotline. We're joined by Dave Scredder, who covers the Chiefs for the Associated Press. Dave, welcome, and thanks so much for the time today.
Yeah, how are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing well. How's the weather in Kansas City, and what do we expect on Sunday?
Well, currently we're frozen, like an ice cube. Everything is covered in a sheet of ice.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But I think we're going to be fine for Sunday. I think it's going to change to rain this afternoon, sort of melt everything, and then Sunday it's going to be clear but pretty cold. So I think we'll be all right. We've certainly had worse here in Kansas City this season already.
Hey, Dave, last Sunday, and you've been covering these guys for a while. You cover all the sports there in Kansas City for the Associated Press. You're sitting in the press box. They're down 24-0. What were you thinking?
I was thinking I could cancel my reservations for Miami. it was one of those things where you just sort of were dumbfounded. You're wondering if, you know, you're thinking back to July and the start of training camp and all those practices you watched and all the practices they went through and all the games and everything you've been through the last 6 months. And you're like, this is how it's going to end with just complete meltdown. But it was funny how things kind of changed. You know, when it was 14-0, you're like, okay, well, that's a tough start, but they could overcome it. When it was 21-0, you're like, oh, this is looking dire. But really for me, when the Texans kicked a field goal instead of going for it on fourth and inches and really had a chance to put a nail in the coffin and go up 28-0, that's sort of the moment where I thought, huh, you know, they're sort of giving the Chiefs an opening, only being up 24-0. And then we know what happened from there. They scored 7 straight touchdowns, and here we are.
We're visiting with Dave Scredder. He covers the Kansas City Chiefs for the Associated Press. Joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. They get beat last year in the AFC Championship game. They're now going to their second straight AFC Championship game. Is there anything different with this team opposed to last year, or a lot of similarities?
I would say a totally different team in a lot of ways. You know, offensively, you look at the team and you say, well, it's the same cast of characters with Pat Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. But this offense just seems to be on a different level right now. I think, you know, Pat's numbers aren't the same as they were last year for a lot of reasons. I think the injuries that he's had this season played a big part in it. But I think he's playing much better than he did last year. He's making better decisions. He's operating within the framework of the offense better. I think it's just a better offense all around this year. And then defense has been a 180. You know, that was their Achilles heel last year. They couldn't get off the field in the AFC title game in overtime against the Patriots and never gave Pat a chance with the ball in that game. So they brought in a new coordinator, a whole new defensive system. They brought in big-time playmakers like Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark. In the last 6 weeks of the regular season, they were one of the best defenses in the NFL, and nobody really noticed. And even last week, you know, people say, well, they gave up 31 points. Well, they really didn't. They gave up 17, and special teams gave up another 14. So the defense quietly played a really good game last week, too, and they're really peaking right now. So it's a much more complete team than we saw last year.
Dave Scrett here on 97.3 The Fan. Can you talk a little bit about Travis Kelce? I know going into last week's game, I mean, there was a question mark whether or not he was going to play. He was banged up a little bit, but boy, did he play. 10 catches, 134 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, and all 3 of those touchdowns were in the second quarter. That was the first time that's ever happened in a playoff game in NFL history. So, yeah, I mean, he just keeps setting records. You mentioned he was a little banged up. He sort of had like a knee bruise more than anything else, but he actually spoke to us reporters today and said that he's good to go for Sunday. So I don't think there's any question there that he's going to be close to 100%. And that's a big part of this offense, because so much of what they do is predicated on the pressure that Travis puts on a defense. You know, when he's coming across the middle, then that opens things up over the top for Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill. When he's good enough of an athlete that he can go on a fly out, and then all of a sudden he's got those other guys underneath. So he causes so many matchup problems. Do you put a safety on him? Do you put a cornerback? You know, woe to the defense that tries to guard him with a linebacker. So he's a really important piece of the offense, and he's playing as well as he has all season right now.
Dave Scretta covers the Chiefs for the Associated Press, joining us from Kansas City right here on our SDCCU fan hotline. Take us back to the first matchup earlier this year, Tennessee and Kansas City in Nashville. The Titans won that ball game 35-32. Kind of talk about how they matched up and how you see this game going to go. Will it be kind of similar maybe?
I don't think it will be similar for a few reasons. You know, first of all, I don't want to slight Tennessee at all, right? They won the game. They played well. They dominated the Chiefs in the second half, especially running the ball with Derrick Henry. But when you look back at that game, it was the first game back for Pat Mahomes after his knee injury that caused him to miss a couple games. He wasn't very mobile, couldn't do a lot of the things he likes to do, scrambling and throwing the ball from out of the pocket. They lost 2 offensive linemen in that game. They were literally down to the last 5 healthy offensive linemen pretty much for the entire second half. Their defense was really banged up. They just had a lot of injuries, and that was sort of the story of the entire first half of the season for the Chiefs, is just trying to survive with a whole lot of injuries. And all of a sudden now, you know, one of the rare things we've ever seen is a team actually getting healthier into the playoffs as opposed to getting more banged up. And so that's why the Chiefs, I think, are playing so well right now. They're just healthy for the first time really all season, and that could pose a big problem for the Titans on Sunday.
Well, Dave, there's no secret what the Titans are going to do. They're going to line up big number 22 in the backfield, and he's coming right at you.
Yeah, and the Chiefs know it too, and I think everybody else has known it, and nobody else has figured out how to stop it either. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see whether Chris Jones, the Chiefs' defensive tackle, plays. He's a Pro Bowler. He missed last week with a calf injury. He said today, rarely do the Chiefs let injured guys talk to the media, but I think the NFL sort of forced them to today. So Chris said he's day to day, and he's going to work out before Sunday's game and see if he can go. But just from what I saw in practice this week, he doesn't look like he's going to play. So, you know, that's one big guy in the middle of that defensive line that's not going to be able to help tackle big number 22. So, we'll see what happens. I think the Chiefs' offense will have a lot to do with slowing Henry down, because if they can stay on the field, control the clock, get out to a big lead early, then that forces Tennessee to kind of change their game plan a bit.
Dave Scretta from the Associated Press of Kansas City, join us on 97.3 The Fan. You're there morning, noon, or night. You're there at road games. You're there at mini camp. You're there all the time. Patrick Mahomes sees your smiling face every day. What's it like covering him?
You know what? You mentioned at the onset that I cover everything here, right? You know, as an AP guy, I cover the Royals. I cover some college stuff. I've been to the Olympics a bunch of times, and he's just he's a different cat. He's a superstar, but he doesn't come off that way. He's super polite, knows everybody, all the reporters by name.
Wow.
He knows everybody in the building by name, the janitors, the people at the reception desk. He is the most unassuming superstar you're ever going to see. Now, he's also on a rookie contract, and we'll see what happens when all of a sudden he's getting paid $40 million a year. But I kind of get the impression that not much will, and that's such a rarity in pro sports, as you guys know. I think part of that has to do with growing up around professional sports. Remember, his dad was a big league pitcher.
Right.
He grew up in that clubhouse atmosphere. I think part of it's just his personality. He's just a very down-to-earth guy. I mean, his girlfriend and him have been together since, you know, all through college and all through the start of his career. He's, you know, he's got the same group of friends, and, you know, he's just a very, you hate to say it, but he's a very unique individual simply by being a really normal individual as a professional superstar.
Hey, Dave, I wanted to ask you about Eric Bieniemy. It's the 25th anniversary this weekend of the Chargers winning the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
There against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I was doing the post-game show back then, and I remember Eric Bieniemy after the night was over, and they had about 85,000. They never admitted they had 85,000 in the stadium because they would have, you know, the fire marshal was going crazy that night, but the city was just absolutely on fire. And I remember after it was over, I was out in the parking lot, and I was on a podium, and Eric Bieniemy got up there, and he was smoking a cigar. And, you know, he was the backup running back to Natron Means in that day. And to see him go through every stop he's made as a coach, and I was a little disappointed this year. Yeah, I know he's the offensive coordinator, been working with Andy Reid, and he's had other stops along the way in college football. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about him? Because I'm a little surprised he hasn't gotten a little bit more support for a head coaching job either in college or in the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's surprising to a lot of people. I think it's even surprising to Andy Reid a little bit that he hasn't had a chance to land one of these jobs. He's sort of become, you hate to put it this way because it sounds like it slights him, and I don't mean to put it that way, but you just get a sense when he's had half a dozen or more interviews that he's sort of becoming the token Rooney Rule interview guy. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame if that's the case, because he's a brilliant football mind. He's a very engaging person if you get him one-on-one. When he's in front of the reporters and TV cameras, I'll admit he's sort of like a stick in the mud. He's not particularly charismatic in that setting, but he is when you get him one-on-one. And like you said, he's been around for a long time now. You know, he started his coaching career in the early 2000s at Colorado, and he's had a bunch of jobs along the way in Minnesota. He went back to Colorado as the offensive coordinator, and then he's been here in Kansas City for about 6 years now, so he's got plenty of experience. His offenses have been really good the last 2 years as the coordinator. We'll see. We'll see if he gets an opportunity. You'd like to think that experience and production and all of those things matter no matter who you are or what color your skin is, and we'll see if that's the case in the next year or two.
Hey, very well put. Hey, with the weather conditions, last question here. You think this is going to be high-scoring or low-scoring affair?
Well, I sort of predicted last week it'd be a low-scoring game, and look how that turned out. So I'm probably the wrong guy to ask. You know, it's going to be cold, but I think it's going to be clear. I don't think there's going to be any problem with footing or with guys catching the ball. So, you know, I think it's going to a lot of it's going to come down to who's doing what they want offensively. If the Chiefs kind of control the game like they want to, it'll be higher scoring because they'll get out to a big lead and wing it and all those things. If the Titans have their way, then we'll see a lot of number 22 pounding the ball, and it might be a low-scoring game.
Hey, Dave, thanks so much. Bundle up on Sunday, and thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it today, and I'll look forward to doing this again with you one of these days.
Yeah, maybe down the road when or if the Chiefs are in Miami.
Hey, we'll take you up on that offer. Good luck.
All right, take care, guys.
There you go. Dave Skreta from the Associated Press, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us via the SDCCU fan hotline. And remember, San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU for you or visit SDCCU.com. Yeah, Braden, I remember the night. That night I'll always remember, but, you know, it had been such a long day, an emotional day, and I was on the air till midnight that night, and I went out, and they had this, like, It was like a flatbed truck that I got up in with a couple of other people. And Eric Bieniemy got up there. He was smoking a big old cigar. He was all fired up, and the fans were going crazy. I mean, people didn't want to go home. It was such an exciting night out there at Qualcomm Stadium.
I'd love to see a night like that again.
Yeah, I'm crossing my fingers on that, but I'm not holding my breath right now. Let's get to today's Coach's Corner.
Coach Ken Terra breaks down the biggest stories in the world of sports
right now.
That was the adult in the gym.
In the Coach's Corner on 97.3, The Fan. Number one.
All right, Coach, let's get to number one. This happened yesterday, but it was big news this morning as well. Agent Drew Rosenhaus conditionally terminated his relationship with Antonio Brown until the free agent wide receiver seeks counseling, the NFL Players Association source told ESPN's Adam Schefter. Rosenhaus wrote in a letter that the NFL Players Association received Thursday that he would like to work with Brown, but not until he first gets help. Additionally, attorney Darren Hettner has removed himself as counsel for Brown in a lawsuit filed in 2018 that alleges Brown caused damages to a rented condominium. We talked about this yesterday, but how much of a big factor that Drew Rosenhaus decided to leave Antonio Brown? Because that's a guy that's not really the cleanest of agents.
No, he's not. We're not going to get into everybody's represented, but he said he'd represent him, but he's not going to represent him until he gets help. And there's nothing to represent him about because nobody's going to sign him right now anyway. So, and I don't think anybody's going to sign him up for endorsement. You saw what the Police Athletic League did the other day. They dropped him like a hot potato.
That's because he decided to throw paraphernalia at the candy paraphernalia at the cops when they came to pick up his family. Yeah, that's a weird story.
Number two.
Baltimore Ravens coach John Harbaugh defended Lamar Jackson's playoff failure on Friday, highlighting the progress the quarterback has made in two NFL seasons. He's 23 years old. He's younger than Joe Burrow, okay, Harbaugh said at his end-of-the-season news conference. So he's got a pretty good head start right now. I mean, he's along the way. The Manning brothers combined they had five losses in their first five playoff games before they won one. Joe Montana, Steve Young, Brett Favre didn't start a playoff game until their third season. Drew Brees and Troy Aikman until their fourth season, and Aaron Rodgers until his fifth season. Interesting. I gotta love John Harbaugh for defending his guy Lamar Jackson. Who's really criticizing Lamar Jackson for having a bad playoff?
I don't know, but I congratulate John Harbaugh on being a great NFL historian, rattling all that information off. But at the end of the day, Lamar Jackson threw for 365 yards, ran for over 100. I know he threw a couple of picks, looked very uncomfortable, but hey, I thought it was a team sport last time I checked.
He's younger than the guy that just won the Heisman.
Yeah, why is he throwing him under the bus?
Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
Huh. Joe Burrow's older than Cam Newton.
Yeah, but why did Joe Burrow even come up in the conversation?
I think it's because saying that Lamar Jackson's played in two NFL playoff games before Joe Burrow's even in the NFL.
Hey, at the end of the day, Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens are 0-2. Get ready for 2020.
Number three.
Speaking of Joe Burrow, LSU quarterback Joe Burrow doesn't appear to have any reservations about playing for the Cincinnati Bengals. Jimmy Burrow, the father of the Heisman Trophy winner, told Montreal's TSN 690 radio on Thursday that his son has no qualms about wearing orange and black, and if the Bengals take Joe with the top overall pick in the NFL draft, he's excited to even be in that conversation, and if the Bengals do draft him, he's going to be happy, Jimmy Burrow told the Canadian radio affiliate. You think Joe Burrow would actually be upset if he had to play in his home state for the Cincinnati Bengals and that organization?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
He's going to make a ton of money. And you know what? If he thinks he can be a difference maker, you go in there and hopefully they'll grow. And they're not going to be very good the first year. And he's going to probably get sacked a ton that first year, trying to learn to read NFL defenses, putting together an offensive line. But hey, at the end of the day, go in there and make the best of it and be the face of the organization for a decade plus.
We're not going to get a Manning family where they refuse to play for the team if they draft him.
Doesn't sound like it from his dad.
Number four.
His dad's not Archie Manning. Number four, Kyler Murray believes he can play in the National Football League and Major League Baseball at the same time. The Arizona Cardinals quarterback coming off his rookie season said he believes he could join the short list of athletes to play professional baseball and football at the same time, just not right now. I think I could, Murray told the Arizona Republic. Athletically, I think, yeah, I could do it. I've been playing both my whole life. I would love to add that to the resume. Murray, who was selected by the Oakland A's with the 9th overall pick in the 2018 MLB draft and received a $4.66 million signing bonus, was a power-hitting outfielder at Oklahoma, where he won the Heisman Trophy as the Sooners quarterback and was the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. We all know athletically Kyler Murray could probably do it, but in this day and age of being specific to one sport, can you see Kyler Murray being able to play Major League Baseball and in the National Football League with everything that goes into it?
No, not at all. In fact, I think he probably made the right decision. Get the money, play in the NFL. Baseball-wise, it was never guaranteed this guy was going to play in the big leagues. He went a lot higher in the draft that year that Oakland took him than people expected. You know, he did a pretty good job. I got to say, he did a pretty good job at Oklahoma. Can steal bases, hit with a little bit of power. But no, there was no guarantee he was ever going to make it to the big leagues. I think he had to just sit there in Arizona and try to be the best NFL quarterback you can possibly be. But, you know, I certainly appreciate his attitude. He seems to be a good kid, and good athletes think they can do just about anything.
Would you like to see it, though, if you were able to make it happen in both organizations that he would be playing?
It'd be kind of fun to see.
It'd be fun to watch.
Well, I kind of like to see when Deion Sanders, Deion Sanders would have been one of the best players in baseball if it had really focused on baseball, the way he could run and slap the ball, and I think he'd have continued to develop as a hitter. I like watching Deion. Another guy that played in the NFL and did a really good job in baseball is Brian Jordan. He had a great career in both MLB and the NFL.
Number five.
Speaking of Major League Baseball, the Colorado Rockies will retire the jersey of outfielder Larry Walker on April 19th, the team announced today. Walker, the National League MVP in 1997, played 10 seasons with the Rockies, batting .334 with 258 home runs and 848 RBIs. His 17-year career also included stops in Montreal and St. Louis. I can't tell you how taken aback I am by this gesture, Walker said in a statement. I am both thrilled and honored. Larry Walker's jersey, 33, retired. Big move for the Colorado Rockies.
I think it's really cool, and I believe, Braden, when we come in here on Tuesday, I think they're going to be announcing the new members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. And I'll be honest with you, I think Larry Walker should have been in the Hall of Fame before, but hopefully he gets that nod on Tuesday.
This one is over. That was the Coach's Corner.
Yes, indeed.
On 97.3, The Fan.
All right, a good coach's corner today, Mr. Soprano. What a way to go into a three-day holiday.
By picking the exact same story I did yesterday?
Well, the first one...
I did do that today.
The first one was a little bit iffy, okay?
Yeah,
I will
bad.
Admit with that. But you know what? Anytime I can maybe throw Drew Rosenhaus or a Brown under the bus, I'm more than happy to do it.
Wow.
So thanks for that softball 12-foot arc.
You're welcome. 12-foot arc. I like that, Coach. I got softball next Wednesday.
Okay, well, right now, as we get to the top of the hour, it's this time of the day. It's time for our Grand Slam giveaway keyword. It's key. Hey, text key, K-E-Y, K-E-Y to 72881 for your chance to win your share of over $180,000 in the Fans National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck from 97.3, The Fan. As we approach the top of the hour, we'll get you an update. When we come back to kick off hour number two, we're going to get back to more sign stealing. Coach John Katera, thanks for tuning in to 97.3 The Fan.
While you're taking a break from sports, KSON is putting you on the road to Stagecoach 8 times every weekday, thanks to your San Diego County Toyota dealers and Cox Communications. Ready for 3 days of live country music in the desert? Sign up now at KSON.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.